The following podcast is proudly sponsored by Crosswinds Golf and Country Club in Burlington. Not only is Crosswinds the finest public golf facility in the region, but it's also a place where you'll get million-dollar views of the Niagara Escarpment. That's right. Nestled between Rattlesnake Point and Mount Nemo, Crosswinds offers tremendous golf on a beautifully maintained course. And unlike other public courses, Crosswinds treats you as if you were a member of a private course. Just the other day, in fact, in the searing heat, one of the marshals came by with cold bottles of water for us. No charge. No charge. Where else are you going to get that kind of service at a public facility? Nowhere. Not even at a private club are they going to drive out in a cart with a chest full of ice cold water for you as you're polishing on the golf course in the heat. Never. But at Crosswinds, they do. That's the kind of service you're going to get. Go to crosswindsgolf.com, book your tee time online now, and don't forget to tell them that Hebsy sent you. Now, Mike, let's start the podcast. Live from Toronto, it's Hebsy on Sports, episode 243. Hi there, sports fans. Mark Hebsher here along with Toronto Mike on a day that will live in infamy. Oh, somebody already said that. There's so much going on in sports that my large head can't even handle it. My size 8.5 head, my pumpkin head, can't handle all that's going on. Trades every 15 seconds. Players moving to other places. People quitting. People getting fired. People getting hired. People getting elevated. People getting high. We'll try to cram everything into the show. We're going to give it a try. First up, of course, the Toronto Blue Jays in the home opener. We're going to talk about that. Very exciting times. But with the trade deadline this afternoon, will they make more deals in order to keep up with the Yankees and their spending spree? Also, what's the deal with Jays tickets? I'm told from a lot of people, season ticket holders, there's a lack of information regarding COVID protocols, seating assignments, acquiring the actual tickets for the first 10-game homestand. It's a real mess. Plenty of tickets available if you want to go today. The NBA draft saw the Raptors pick fourth, but they did not select the player everybody thought they would take. They took Scotty Barnes. We'll get into that, plus the problems the Maple Leafs are facing now that Zach Hyman has flown the coop to Edmonton. I still can't believe it, but all right.
Wow.
Freddie Anderson gone, Zach Bogosian gone. Who knows what's going to happen with some other Leafs? Kerfoot? I don't know. Anyway, we'll talk about that. Are the Leafs getting better or are they getting worse? Or are they about the same? Mem shows. Will they make moves? We'll talk about that. Plenty of news from the Olympics, and we've got a pool going to see when the Canadian men will medal, if ever. The Jays back on the radio, sort of. Michael Landsberg gone from the TSN 1050 morning show. Wow. Is O-Dog taking over? The Montreal Canadiens should be ashamed of themselves, and so should all Habs fans. Simone Biles takes a step back, and plenty more to talk about, but first, here's Toronto Mike.
Honestly, there's more sports in this show than we had, I think, in a 6-month period during the pandemic. Like, think about where we're at here. This is like a 4-hour show, I think.
No, it's not that long. But Mike, there was one point yesterday where four trades were consummated in three different sports within 15 minutes of each other.
Right.
It was like, the Yankees just picked up. Oh, the Yankees just did this. Oh, the Jays got, Boston just did this. Oh, Washington just got rid of Scherzer. He's going to San Diego. No, he's going to Los Angeles. Like the Dodgers swooped in and got Max Scherzer at the last second.
Wow.
And Trey Turner as well. Like Washington in 2 days, got rid of half their team.
Wow.
Well, now this is a team Washington. Remember this team. Remember back when they signed Jason Worth to a long contract and young Bryce Harper was coming up and they had the number one draft pick, Steven Strasburg. Like they were on their way
right
to numerous championships. I mean, they did win one.
Well, they got one. Yeah, they got one.
Yeah, but I mean, you know, they had such talent. They spent so much money and now it's like they're just dismantling the squad as fast as they can.
Wow.
Going to get into all that stuff. It's going to be great.
Well, honestly, I'm like many of the listeners. I'm here to catch up on all this action. Like, I just can't wait to find out what's going on. I will share a note with you, though, because there's a listener. Every week she listens. Leve Fumka, not the biggest sports fan, but listens because she loves the way you talk about sports. And then it makes her, she can have conversations with other people. And, you know, she knows what she's talking about because she listens to Hebsy on Sports. But she pointed something out. With Manscaped, we talk a lot about our balls. And we go heavy as if everyone listening is a man. And she pointed out, she's bought one. She points out, you can use them for your lady parts as well. Like
what?
I know. I didn't even consider this. Right. Right.
They're not designed that. Be careful. Just be very, very careful.
I think we need to be more careful than them, to be honest. But
Manscaped, listen, it's sort of like saying a defense man in hockey, right? I mean, right. Even if it's a woman right. playing that position, it's a defenseman. It's just right. sort of that.
Right.
So Manscaped, you know, is they're not going to change their name, but I get, look, a customer, a happy customer is a happy customer. Thank you for that. And there you go.
Just, and we do it's have.
Sensitive enough, Manscaped, that even females can use it.
Strong enough for a man, but made for a woman. I think that's what we're saying there. But I just want to point out that I've done some research. We actually have some female listeners as well, not just dudes.
Oh, I know that. Take this in. And I'm not saying that they wouldn't have bought it for their men, but interesting. They're kind of curious.
They use it on themselves.
And again, what did you buy this for? Did you buy this for your man or did you want to try it out yourself? Okay, good.
Now, the promo code to save money and get free shipping is HEBSY, right? HEBSY.
You know that.
Yeah. So now listeners
free shipping and 20% off.
Wow. Okay. So go to Manscaped.com. With a D at the end. Go there, manscaped.com. And whatever you buy, you get the 20% off and the free shipping. Real quick, because I see another.
And regardless of your gender, really.
Yeah. You know what? Even if you're non-binary, you can totally use this product. So shout out to Moose Grumpy, who's here live on YouTube. And I'm just going to shout out very quickly. Eugene Valaitis, Philip Blancher, Dale Cadeau.
Oh, Eugene wants a, he wants the Otis update.
Okay, we're going
to
give him an
Otis. I have not seen Otis in a week. I'm told he's being trained to be an indoor cat, and he may be, I'm not sure of this, he may be up at a cottage right now. Wow. So like a new environment with, and not allowed to go out unless he's on a leash. So that's
you know
the
what? He's got
Otis.
A better life than I do. That sounds pretty good. KM, well, you're not Wayne on a Brown. Leash? I'm not on a leash, and I'm not at a cottage either. Steve Green, I. Sinclair Russell, Dr. Hockey. A lot of people watching live. And anyone who's listening to the podcast should know at 9:20 a.m. every Friday, go to Hebsy's YouTube channel, and I will read these comments in real time. And you can be a part of the show. So enjoy.
Yeah.
Enjoy
and if
responsibly.
If you've got anything that you want to add, like if there was something that hasn't been answered here, or you think, well, geez, Hebsy didn't mention whatever. Yeah, throw it in. If we've got time, we'll mention it. If it's something that I overlook, because there's so much going on. It's like, back in the day, I would get the sports section of whatever newspaper and I'd read it, you know, cover to cover. So I knew what was going on in all of the sports, but sometimes I only had time to read like a couple of stories.
Right.
I wasn't fully informed. And I would have to have a show like this, which there weren't many on radio at the time, to sort of fill me in on the rest of what's going on in all sports, not just, you know, these hockey heads. And they're all really good reporters, but they concentrate 100% on hockey. They know some stuff that's going on in other sports. But I mean, you can't expect Elliot Friedman to know everything that's going on in baseball and basketball,
right?
Although he probably is pretty close. But he has to concentrate on hockey, the intricacies, the nuances, the everything, the minutiae of hockey. That's his beat. With me, I don't have a beat, man. I like what I like.
You like
what
you like.
I'm going to watch the Hungarian Grand Prix this weekend, play pickleball, play golf at Crosswinds, watch a little Olympics at 3 a.m. maybe if I'm, you know, an insomniac. Catch baseball for sure, not live. There'll be all kinds of stuff going on, man.
And now, Hebsy, I know you. Yeah. It's your show and it's Hebsy on Sports, but could I just hijack it for a moment and just shuffle your order just a tiny bit? Because the breaking news this morning in Toronto sports media circles is that Michael Landsberg is gone from TSN after 37 years.
That's right. Well, he's gone from TSN radio after 5 years.
Well, I read that press release 10 times. It's reading like
it's
he's gone
release.
From TSN.
Yeah, it's a press release.
Like, I don't think he's going to show up
it
on TV.
It didn't say that he was fired, and it didn't say that he quit.
Right, right.
What does it say?
But I'm interpreting.
Well, they use you know the way PR spins are. They word well, it a certain way.
They're kind of worded like Michael's retiring.
Well, what words did they use?
Okay, well, you want me to read
will
it?
Will no longer be with, is leaving.
Yeah.
Has is, agreed to.
I'll read it. Okay.
I got it. Depart.
Okay. Like, it's written like a press release so you don't know what the hell went down, but is it.
What do you think happened?
I think they tapped him on the shoulder and said it's time to go.
37 years. Yeah. He's in his 60s, mid-60s, I think.
Sure.
And he's, you know, but here's the thing with Michael is he will, Michael's legacy is as the greatest mental health advocate on the planet.
Right. Right.
Who bared his soul. I mean, how many years ago it's been?
Right. Right.
to, you know, and raised how much awareness among people. Right. So Michael's legacy is complete. And as a broadcaster, you know, really quite unparalleled, I think. You know, you're talking about someone who hosted a long-running talk show. He was a reporter. He was an anchor. You know, he did a very good job. You don't stick around, you know, in this business or any business for that long unless you're accomplished. And Michael's accomplished. But he's no longer the morning show host on TSN 1050, which leads us to believe that Carlo Colaiacovo will have a new co-host come the fall, which is a month away. And likely The Fan, you know, even because they're adding Blue Jay broadcast, sort of, you know, starting tonight. And maybe they're now going to blossom with their new executive into what they're going to sound like come the fall, when people are back to school, when there's more of a routine and more people will be in their cars and listening to radio. So it's very, very exciting. Good luck to Michael in his endeavors. Like many of us around that age, you know, you're in the business for a long time, solid legacy, you know, enjoy retirement or whatever you're going to do.
You once shared a story on Hebsy on Sports about how you applied for a job at TSN and they told you, essentially, you were told that they had, I'll quote you on this one, they had a Jew.
Yeah.
Landsberg, that's the gentleman, right?
Michael would have been the Jew. Now, was he a token Jew? Well, I don't think that was ever discussed outside of TSN. I mean, it may have been. It's the same way Mark Jones would have been the token black. Mm-hmm. Diana McDonald or Terry Leibel would have been the token woman.
Right.
They might have had a token Westerner. We can't have everybody from Toronto. We don't want people from out west thinking that it's the Toronto Sports Network. So we need, you know, a token Edmontonian. I don't know. But you know what I mean? When we use the word token, it's like we have to have representation from...
Sure.
That type of thing.
But it is interesting.
Whether those people were qualified for the job didn't matter to TSN.
Right.
Michael's case, he was certainly qualified, even though he had no television experience. He had broadcast experience. He was a good
radio broadcast. Cable 10 experience.
No, yeah, but he was a good radio broadcast. I don't know if you ever listened to Michael Landsberg on CHFI do sports.
No, I did not.
Well, do your fucking homework, okay? Before you shit all over the poor guy.
I'm not shitting on him.
It's not an easy gig. It's not an easy gig to go from that and do morning radio and be entertaining and have the support of your bosses, right? By getting up at 3 o'clock in the morning and doing that's a tough gig, baby. Tough.
No, man.
And it's not like TSN really promoted their morning show. They didn't. They promoted Overdrive. But they don't never promote. I never saw the promos for that morning show.
Do you want to speculate a little bit? And for the record, everybody knows actually that I'm actually I really like Michael Landsberg. He's been on my show a couple of times. I know. I just want to point that out because you made it sound.
No, but you know, Michael's father, Dr. Ronald Landsberg, was my orthodontist.
Wow, that's wild. And Shulman's dad was a dentist too. Like you could theoretically have your dentist be Shulman's dad, and then your Dan Shulman's dad, and then your ortho could be Landsberg's
interesting.
Dad.
My father hated going to the dentist. So their fathers, you know, for a living went into people's mouths and my father would refuse to open his mouth for a dentist.
Anyway. Okay, so people want Blue Jays updates, but I want a speculation first. Like, who do you think gets the morning show gig now that Landsberg's gone?
Who's going to be offered the morning show
sure.
gig?
Like, it's just
lots of people. Who's going to take the morning show gig? Nobody important. Because the gig isn't going to pay much. You know it and I know it. They're not spending a lot of money on on-air talent at TSN 1050. They're not. They're not going to make a big splash with a big name.
Okay, because Jeff O'Neill is a name you tossed out.
I threw out Jeff O'Neill because he's part of the fold. And, you know, maybe they said to him, hey, O-Dog, you want to make, $300,000 a year? You know, maybe does he have, alimony payments to make, child support payments? I don't know. But, hey, you want to make $300,000 a year? And then you can go home and take a nap and do all your TSN TV stuff on the desk.
Right, right.
I don't know. I would listen. That way I would get half Jeff O'Neill and half Carlo Colaiacovo. Couple of ex-player. Hey, you know what? That might be great. Has it been done before? Of course it has. Two former athletes who are glib and good storytellers, engaging. Yeah, it can be done. And O'Neill's been doing it for how many years? He's an accomplished broadcaster and he's funny and he's unpredictable. So if they have the dough, say like, you know, and if they say it's not enough money and he says, I want to stick with my afternoon gig, mm-hmm. you know, with Hayes and Noodles, which is pretty good also, then good on him.
Now, Scott Mayo throws out an interesting name. Do you think there's any chance Andrew Walker returns to the market?
Who?
You know who.
Well, I'll ask you the question. If you're a Toronto sports fan and you heard that they are hiring a guy who was here, but he was from somewhere else when he first moved here, and now he's moved to Vancouver, and now he's going to come back to Toronto, how into the Toronto sports scene is he? And, you know, is he going to draw on? Are people going to go, let's start listening because Andrew Walker's on the morning show? The answer is no. Okay.
Okay, now you can do your Blue Jays.
And the Fan then. Morning show, I don't even know. Anything going on at the Fan, except for the fact that Ben Wagner is going to be doing games by himself starting tonight, home games from the actual booth with bubble gum, chicken wire, and two tomato cans.
Yeah, but that's all we
it's
wanted,
just
going to
be
right?
Ben Wagner doing the games. And on the road, he's not going on the road.
Oh, he's not going on the road.
He's
going
to do the games from a studio in Toronto off a monitor.
Is he at the Dome?
Yeah, he'll be at the Dome for the home games.
Okay, gotcha.
And so will all the other broadcasters be at the Dome. All the TV crews were setting
up. Okay, at least
up.
They kept their word, right? Because we were wondering, would they keep their word? They said it was just for the COVID thing.
Yeah, yeah,
and,
yeah.
At least
that doesn't, who knows what's going to happen next year?
Right.
I mean, Ben was under contract anyway. They had to pay him. So they may as well, as long as he's going to be paying him, they may as well, at home especially, the booth is set up, flip the switch, right? The radio stations are still doing the game. It's not like, you know, we're not broadcasting it. Instead of picking up the TV audio, They just flip the switch for the booth. It's going to be Ben by himself.
Would TSN bring back Dan O'Toole to take that morning show gig at 10:50?
Maybe. Dan O'Toole and Carlo Colaiacovo? Maybe.
What
about a black woman? Oh, that would be perfect. Kayla Gray and Carlo Colaiacovo. Black woman, former Leaf. I can see those two getting into battles for sure. Fights.
If Kayla wants to go back to radio.
Basketball, about hockey, about how violent hockey is, about how there aren't enough blacks in hockey. Oh, all that stuff, man. That would cover everything. That'd be good. You know? Think about it.
Stay tuned.
An Italian guy, an ex-Leaf, Toronto guy. Okay? Yeah. A feisty black woman. Young, Kayla Gray. She's got her own show, a little digital show. Clash of the Titans, a little bit of back. I'd tune in for that. That could be electric. Okay.
Okay.
The Blue Jays finally returned home this morning at about 3 a.m. Wait a second. That's redundant because if it was this morning, of course it was a.m. Tonight they take on the Kansas City Royals in the p.m. in front of 15,000 fans or less.
Right.
On what will end up being their unofficial opening day. Here's the problem. They're not starting from scratch. This isn't the first game of the season. This is the 100th game of the season. 100th game. So really their first home game. And it doesn't give them a lot of time to settle into their new digs. They got to start winning now. And while they were blasting Boston 13-1 last night at Fenway, the New York Yankees were making deals right under their nose. The day before, they acquired lefty slugger Joey Gallo from Texas to play the outfield. Let's see here. Stanton, Judge, and Gallo in the outfield.
Wow.
Pretty good. And yesterday, they dropped another bombshell by acquiring left-handed hitting first baseman Anthony Rizzo from the Cubs.
All these
Meanwhile,
Italians.
The Blue Jays were caught with a finger up their ass. Or in this case, it was a hand.
Oh, that's right.
Reliever Brad Hand, acquired from Washington for minor league catcher Riley Adams. Now, when you heard that deal, did you go, all right, we got it in the bag. We're going to the playoffs, baby. Now that we got Brad Hand and Jordan Romano at the other end of the bullpen, we're there. We're in. We can make up 4.5 games in the wild card. No problem. What are you kidding me? You fucking nuts. Now, Hand's a good pitcher. Has been for a number of years. Veteran left-hander. He's going to work well with Romano. Yeah, blah, blah, blah. But the Jays need more help than that. Look at the Yankees make two blockbuster deals. The Jays get Hand from a team, Washington, that's giving people away. They're giving their players away. Washington, they gave up half their freaking squad in the last 2 days. Scherzer's gone. Turner's, what y'all about that? Schwarber's gone. Get out of here. They're gone, man. Here, take Brad Hand. Take him off our hands. We'll take Riley Adams, all right, who wasn't going to make the Jays anyway. So the Yankees, the Rays, the Red Sox are all better than the Jays right now. They've improved, all of them. And they're the ones the Jays are going to have to try to keep up with. Well, at least the Yankees, they have to overtake the Yankees if they want to get in the postseason. And, you know, I understand that they were all in on Joey Gallo the other day. All in. They were one of the three finalists. In fact, a lot of folks thought the Jays had the best deal on the table. Yankees swooped in, wow, got Gallo. So to lose Gallo to the Yankees, the team you're chasing, is just unforgivable. You have to, you're going for it. You're in deep now. Like, you're all in. Ross Atkins, you've pushed all in this year. You got a big mountain to climb, baby. And I'll tell you why. You got two quality starters. You got Ryu, who's locked up for another couple years after this. You got Robbie Ray, who's a free agent at the end of this year. He'll fly the coop. He'll get $15 million a year. After that, they're awfully thin. Steven Matz looked great in April. Look, and we're coming up in August. Ross Stripling, tonight's starter, chicken strips. I don't know what I'm going to get with this guy. But I can tell you this, neither of these guys usually can go more than five innings, if. And this is a nine-inning game we're talking about for the most part. And, you know, can you depend on Alek Manoah or Thomas Hatch as your fifth starter, fourth starter, whatever? No, you really can't. These other teams have better starting pitching and better bullpens. We got to have our starters go deep. We can't have our guys throwing 90 pitches in the fourth inning. You can't have that. And you know what? Right off the bat, because today's going to be a weird day, they're going to have a one-hour ceremony before the game. The players, a lot of guys have never seen Toronto before. Got in at 3 o'clock in the morning. I don't, where are they staying? Are they all staying at a hotel? Do they have accommodations for them all? They've moved into their homes? No. And now they got to play. They got to go through a whole thing tonight with media and everything like that. And then they got to play a game. And then another one tomorrow. And then another one on Sunday against the Royals. And then four against Cleveland. And then three against the Red Sox. And they go on the road again.
Hebsy, man. On Twitter, of all places, I just checked. This guy's lucky I checked. Normally, I just look at the YouTube comments. But Craig M. says, remind Hebsy, the Yankees lost to the Rays 14-0 yesterday. They're not that good. That's from Craig M.
Well, that's like saying Boston's not that good because they lost to the Jays 13-1. Right. And a few weeks ago, they lost small to the sample Jays 18-4. 18-4 and 13-1. Think about run differential and how important it is. And take a look at some of the games the Jays have played over the, you know, the recent past. And yesterday's game is a great example. I mean, the games they're losing by a run, by two runs. The games they're winning, they're absolutely throttling the other team. I mean, killing them.
But Paul Hockyard, who is on the YouTube channel, does make an interesting point. He goes, should we sell our future for a chance this year like Alex did? And what would Gallo bring? Hitting in this lineup is not the problem.
No, but you like to have a left-handed bat. I mean, as much as you'd like to think that this lineup is so powerful that they can take on any pitching staff, they can be neutralized by a right-handed flamethrower in the late innings, of which many teams have. You know, you're not going to get third time through the order in a lot of cases. You're going to get the fourth time, you're going to get that fireballer. And, a 99-mile-an-hour fastball in the eighth or ninth inning is a different delivery point from a pitcher you haven't seen, and now he's throwing heat. You know he's going to go all out for the 15 or 20 pitches he's going to throw that inning. Totally different.
Did you consider
you need to have a left-handed bat besides Craig Biggio and Reese McGuire?
Did you consider going to the game tonight?
Not at all.
Never, okay.
Not at all. I according to my sources, first of all, it's not even a sellout. I mean, all the tickets have been sold, but a lot of season ticket holders who had first crack or whatever have immediately put their tickets up on the secondary market. You go to Ticketmaster, you can get tickets, baby. You can get tickets for $64. I mean, remember, they're only selling in the lower bowl.
Right.
And there's two types of sections. There's the fully vaccinated section, of which two-thirds of the seats will be, which means you're sitting right next to somebody else that's fully vaccinated, even though everyone's got to wear a mask, except when you're eating or drinking. Now, how do you monitor that? Like, if I go, here's what I do. I go, Mike, and I just get a big thing of popcorn and I eat one kernel at a time. I keep my mask off.
Right.
And I eat one kernel. Someone says, I'm eating.
I lived this last week. I went to the TFC match at BMO Field. Same rule. Lots of people they have a beer through the whole match and they just never wear a mask because they're always sipping a beer through the whole
match. And who's monitoring that?
Nobody bothered anybody. It was tough
and
to
do
enforce.
And you trust the person that the person's fully vaccinated? Or is that a concern?
Well, maybe you trust. I mean, personally, I trusted that I'm fully vaccinated.
All right.
Because I was all there.
Right. Anyway, my buddy Chris, who has excellent seats and has been a season ticket holder since day one, his dad, had some real issues with the Blue Jays ticketing department and getting information. Once they announced that they were coming back to Toronto, they're only selling tickets for the first 10-game homestand. And so as a season ticket holder, you're thinking, all right, I'll get all the information I need. No. He says nothing. He got nothing. Nothing when it came to COVID protocol, physical distance seating arrangements, ticket allocation, pickup of those tickets, all that stuff. He says that his account was arbitrarily debited for $1,500 for this first 10-game homestand, even though he didn't want the ticket. He didn't know what the deal was. Am I sitting in vaccinated, non-vaccinated? Are they my seats? You know, all that stuff. He says it's a real shit show.
Okay, but he's a season ticket holder, right?
He's a season ticket holder since day one. He did not get enough information to make him feel comfortable to purchase these tickets and go to the games. And many others agreed because there's tons of tickets available. Hmm. Go right now. Tons.
Now I'm thinking I might go tonight to the game.
No, $64. Section 130C. I was looking at him earlier.
Hit me up if you want to go with me.
No, I'm not going. You just be careful, Mike, when you go.
Well, it's outdoors.
Just be careful.
It's outdoors.
So anyway, a lot of questions, a lot of issues. I mean, I'm sure all the seats will be occupied because there will be people, Mike, like you and others that, oh, you mean I can get tickets? And depending on how much you want to spend. But anyway, there's issues there. The organization, you know, wants you to pat them on the back. Thanks for getting us back to Toronto. And the organization wants you to go, thanks, you know, thanks for putting radio games back, a dedicated radio broadcast. You know, like the Jays are like the saviors. They're saving the sports fans of Toronto. When in fact, they're sticking it to us worse, especially your loyal season ticket holders.
And they're like the arsonists.
You can't debit someone's account $1,500. You can't do it. You can't threaten them by saying, well, if you don't grab tickets, then we can't guarantee your season tickets for 2022. You can't fucking hold them hostage like that. That's bullshit. Anyway, tonight, big pregame ceremony, about an hour or so. I'm sure the players are going to love that. You know, let's go. I want to play.
Well, not really an hour, right? That's hyperbole.
It's going to be an hour pregame show. It's a big deal. It's opening day.
And again,
they haven't had an opening day, a real opening day with their full broadcast crew on site. Fans actually in the stands, all that. It's going to be wild.
Very exciting. And again, the comfort level for most of us, including myself, is completely different when something's indoors versus outdoors. I have absolute no problem doing stuff outdoors. And this game, as long as the dome is open, I think I would feel perfectly fine.
Well, that's the thing. It has to be. So what happens if it starts raining? If they close the dome, you know, does Toronto Health come running in going, all right, that's it.
If they close the dome, I think a lot of people will have that like look of concern, like, oh, I don't know if I'm comfortable with this. Like I don't know if I'm comfortable with 15,000 people indoor.
And you know what else? Even with the roof open, that place is pretty enclosed. That's not like BMO.
Right.
It's pretty enclosed.
Okay, but
you could be sitting high up in the 100 section or whatever, and there's all roof around you, right?
Sure, but it's good ventilation in there regardless.
I guess so. Yeah, that's what they say. Okay, more big names were traded in baseball yesterday, and I expect there's going to be more as we're on the air with this because the trade deadline's at 4 o'clock this afternoon, Eastern time, Eastern. Max Scherzer of the Nationals was all set to go to San Diego. Everybody was tweeting he's going to San Diego.
Wow.
San Diegoans were all excited. San Diegoans had already taken, you know, Max's head and superimposed it over a Padres uniform. Sorry, Dodgers swooping in last second. Oh, he's going to the Dodgers with Trey Turner, who's on the COVID list right now. But what's that? Man, there's a leadoff hitter and another starter because let's face it, I don't think Trevor Bauer is going to pitch for the Dodgers again.
Oh.
That guy, that whole thing's pretty fucked up, right? So we'll talk more about the situations that's going on in sports when it comes to the sexual assault and just terrible. Anyway, so the Dodgers also pick up left-hander Danny Duffy from the Royals. So Dodgers make it a big run because that National League West, Mike, and we don't pay that much attention. I mean, most people don't that are Jays fans. You know, and I don't want to sound like I'm a big shot, but I pay attention because the Giants and Dodgers has been a rivalry that I've been interested in for years. That dates all the way back to the New York days,
way
back.
And your parents went to see them all on their honeymoon.
They did on their honeymoon. But even before that, back to like 1910.
Right. Right.
It was so Giants, Dodgers. So in the meantime, the Giants are running away with, not running away, but they lead the West by 3 over the Dodgers. And San Diego's 5.5 back. And all three teams are in the postseason if the season were to end right now. But only one can win the division. So the Giants, you know, they made like a small move here, but the Dodgers and Padres are like, they both want to make moves. The Padres expected to make a move today for a starting pitcher, Berrios, because they couldn't get Scherzer. Mm. The Dodgers swooped in and made a better deal. Fabulous. I love this. I wish the Jays were doing this. I hope they are today. Hope they're chasing down some more starting pitching. And by the way, as I mentioned, dedicated radio broadcast starting tonight, Ben Wagner only. It's just the Ben show. He'll do home games from the booth. He won't have to travel to road games. I don't think any of the Toronto broadcasters will be traveling to road games, Mike, the way I understand it right now.
Interesting.
Here in Toronto, knock yourself out. Go ahead. As many people as you want. But crossing the border and going on a road trip to cover the games, yeah, we can pick up the camera feed. But sending broadcasters there, I don't know. And because Ben Wagner ain't going. He's going to call it off a monitor in Toronto, the radio broadcast, which is
interesting.
Fucked.
Interesting.
That's fucked. Okay. Huge story at the NBA draft. The Toronto Raptors did not take guard Jalen Suggs from Gonzaga as the fourth pick, but rather a small forward or big guard forward, Scotty Barnes. I love the name already. Scotty Barnes, the super sub from Florida State, the ACC Rookie of the Year. And the man, or the boy, he's 19 years old, expected to perform eventually like a Draymond Green type player. Emotional, solid player.
But what a shock.
6'8" with a huge wingspan. Great defender, not a great shooter, but hey, he's 19. A terrific team player. Not sure that's good enough, though, to satisfy the Raptor fans who went on social media yesterday going wild because they wanted to see and they expected that Jalen Suggs would be drafted by the Raptors fourth overall. He ended up going fifth to the Magic, and he didn't look too happy. He did not look that I think he thought he was going to the Raptors. He was all excited. He read the press releases. He read, oh, he's going fourth. He's going. And you know, Masai Ujiri and Bobby Webster are pretty smart guys.
Right.
So before you jerks get all of, oh, what the fuck are they doing to drafting him? Like, you know, like you went and scouted him. Like you saw him on TV 4 or 5 times and you read all the press clippings and you're convinced that he's the guy. He's your guy. What the fuck do you know? Masai Ujiri and Bobby Webster have NBA championship rings. Well, they don't know shit, though. Why would they draft, you know, a guy that nobody wanted to have? Scotty Barnes? I mean, I heard the groaning. I was on a Zoom call. I was doing Zoom trivia. And I was just, they better not draft Scotty Barnes. The fuck do you know? What, you go to Florida State? You went to all of his games? You're a scout? Ujiri and Webster, a couple of bums. They don't know shit. Come on. Here's Scotty Barnes's quote.
Okay.
They asked him, hey, how's it going? Like, you're going to Toronto. I'm doing amazing, fabulous, fantastic. I'm always excited to see other people succeed. I like seeing other people be happy. I'm a natural leader. I encourage guys to be better. I like seeing people be great at what they love doing. I'm a caring guy, a loving guy. I just want to spread love and positivity.
Wow.
I want this guy on my team. Okay. And if he throws up bricks every so often, like Ben Simmons, so what? If he helps the team win and he's got a good attitude, and he's 19 years old. How can he not get better? Seriously. I mean, there were a lot of pretty crummy shooters when they came into the NBA, became pretty good jump shooters. You practice enough, you can become a good shooter. Don't kid yourself.
Look, 19. In Masai and Bobby, we trust.
Yeah. But I mean, I didn't hear anybody go, let's fire Masai or get rid of Masai and Bobby. But they were like outraged that the first round draft pick wasn't the guy that they had hoped for.
Hebsy, this is shades. You know what I'm going to say next. This is absolutely when we didn't draft Ed O'Bannon. Ed O'Bannon. Like that first. Yeah, because
it's true.
Remember, that was in Toronto. They booed like crazy. We want Ed O'Bannon because he was the UCLA star or whatever.
Yeah,
everybody
because
watched
he was
the
from
TV.
UCLA.
And Suggs hit that buzzer beater at the March Madness. So he's
they
like
saw him playing a couple of national championships.
Sure. But when we picked this guy, Damon Stoudemire, it all worked out. So let's keep the faith and see what happens here.
That's right. Thank you. By the way, according to reports from The Athletic and ESPN's Adrian Wojnarowski last night, and they came true today.
Oh, watch bum.
The Los Angeles Lakers.
Wow.
acquired Russell Westbrook, who's now played for 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, how many teams in how many years?
Right.
From the Wizards in exchange for Kyle Kuzma, Montrezl Harrell, Kentavious Caldwell-Pope, and the number 22 pick in the draft last night.
Wow.
That is a handful, baby, for one guy, Russell Westbrook on the Lakers. Is there enough ball there for Westbrook and for LeBron and AD? And oh my God.
Well, there was enough ball in Miami, right? So we'll see here. We'll see here. That's interesting. That's a fascinating move.
Mike, last week I went on about Zach Hyman and how, you know, maybe he would stay. And I was so wrong.
Yeah, I know.
I mean, I've actually thought that the Leafs were going to make an offer to Zach Hyman. I actually believed that the Leafs thought highly enough of Zach Hyman that they would make some kind of an offer to him. But obviously Hyman knew that they weren't going to come anywhere close to, not like they wouldn't embarrass themselves by making Zach Hyman a lowball offer. So they said, basically, you've got permission to talk to other teams. And here I am thinking, you know, they'll be fine. They'll hear what he has to say. And then they'll come back and they'll say, okay, before you do anything, Zach, here's the offer. But not even.
No.
Not even. So once Hyman knew this, all right, how badly did he want to get out of Toronto? Mm-hmm. How badly, when he found out that the Leafs had given him permission to talk to other teams, you know how badly? He didn't wait for the Oilers to call him. He spent his own money, paid his own way to go to Edmonton so he could check out the city and the neighborhoods he might want to live in and the schools that his kid might go to. Okay, on his own dime.
Right.
And I guess he liked what he saw because he came back. There was no sign and trade. The Leafs did not make any kind of an offer at all. They basically said, good luck to you. We can't afford you. Nice knowing you. See you around.
Yeah, you were very wrong.
Nothing
on this.
For him. 7 years, $38.5 million to play with Connor McDavid and Leon Draisaitl. And not receiving any offer from the cash-strapped Maple Leafs, who acquired a bunch of players, you know, in the last few days. The biggest name of which, goaltender Peter Mrazek. $3.8 million cap hit. Oh, it would have been $3.8 million to re-sign Nick Foligno, so he's not coming back. Zach Bogosian's not coming back. Freddie Anderson basically swapped for Mrazek, who's got a 3-year deal to share the goaltending duties with Jack Campbell. I know you're excited about that. You've got your big four. You got Matthews and Marner and Tavares and Nylander that take up all that money. You got Kerfoot, maybe. I don't know how long he's going to be. Mikhaev. You got Riley and Brody and Muzzin and Sandin on the blue line. And that's it. Now you got David Kampf, Michael Bunting, Curtis Gabriel, Mike Amadio, Alex Biega, Carl Dahlstrom, and you just traded for the rights to defenseman Brendan Mennel, and you've confirmed that Josh Hosang is going to be in camp on a professional tryout.
Wow.
And Kyle Dubas, who's got about 8 cents left in his pocket, says he's open to adding more players in free agency. Good luck. Man, your big four had better be spectacular this year.
I don't know what to say.
It better be solid as a rock at Gibraltar. You cannot replace Zach Hyman.
Hebsy, this is a
Wayne
team.
Simmons is going to take that role?
No. This is a team that could not get out of the first round, even though they were playing the Montreal Canadiens. I thought, you know, Leafs in four, maybe Leafs in five. Again, I was as wrong about that as you were about Zach Hyman going to Edmonton here. So I don't like this team is going to be worse next year than it was this year. Am I right or wrong?
Way.
It looks like it.
Doesn't it?
Yeah.
Because now next year they're back in their normal division. They're not in the Canadian division. Hello, Boston. Hello, Tampa. Hello, Montreal. They still got Carey Price. Although that organization, I would be ashamed and embarrassed to be a Montreal Canadiens supporter until they do something drastic, like fire all these guys, get rid of every one of them, and say, we'll never make that mistake again. We'll never do that to you. We'll never tarnish and sully the legacy, the history of the Montreal Canadiens. I mean, that was the most stupid, tone deaf. I can't think of the words to describe how I would feel if I was a Montreal Canadiens supporter. I know how I feel. I don't even support them. They're not even my team, but a revered organization. unbelievable. They're all rolling over in their graves because of their stupid decision to draft a player who did not want to be drafted. Number one, don't draft me.
Right.
Because I'm a jerk. I'm an asshole, an abuser of women, a liar. I don't deserve this. These guys going through his own private hell, blacklisted. So don't draft me. And the other thing was he wasn't expected to be drafted in the second round anyway. And they drafted him in the first round after he said, don't draft me because I'm a prick. All this after a feel-good postseason, which saw them reach the cup final, the love, the affection, the reputation, solid. The Montreal Canadiens, now sullied beyond repair because of the drafting of Logan Mailloux. Is that a name? Mailloux. M-A-I-L-L-O-U-X. Mailloux.
I think that's right.
Logan Mailloux. London Knights. Loaned to a team in Sweden, I guess, because the OHL didn't have a season last year. What does this guy do? Oh, he's playing hockey in Sweden. He's a big shot. He's having sex with a woman. It's consensual sex. What wasn't consensual was his taking the pictures of them having sex and then posting them without her consent. And even though he was hit with a summary conviction, which is, you know, you've got a criminal record now, didn't do any time, didn't seem to show any remorse, which is really what the woman wanted. You know, an apology and to show remorse. So hearing of this, most teams just took him off their draft list. And the kid himself said, I don't want to be drafted. You know, he's trying to figure this out for himself.
Right.
So he was projected as a second round pick and the Habs draft him in the first round. Why? Well, I never got an answer. Why? Because he was the best player available? He wasn't the best player available. Because he said, don't draft me? Well, we're going to draft you. Who did that? Didn't the Quebec Nordique do that with Eric Lindros? Don't draft me. Oh, we'll draft you.
Yeah, very different.
We'll just trade your ass.
Yeah. They had an asset. Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, well, boy, did they ever.
That's different.
So he didn't want to be drafted. Montreal drafted him. What were they trying to prove? What was Marc Bergevin, the man in the red suit? What was he trying to prove? Especially with all this going on. Did they not ask Marc Bergevin about the Chicago Blackhawks sexual assault scandal? Was he not part of the Blackhawks organization, an assistant coach, something like that, back in 2010 or so when these allegations took place with the video coach? With all this going on, and what about domestic abuser Tony D'Angelo? And he's just signed by Carolina. All this going on in the National Hockey League and in sports in general. How can you be so tone deaf? Did you not take the pulse of the public? The disgust, the disdain that people have for this particular hockey player, this sexual abuser, right? How could you? Like, did he not discuss this with his wife? Honey, do you think that people would be upset if I took this kid? She's going to go, fucking, are you nuts? You stay away from this guy. He doesn't even want to be drafted. He doesn't want to go be thrown into the boiling hot pot. Can you imagine? Montreal drafts him, says, too bad, he's coming. We're drafting him. And he comes to Montreal. What do you think the questions are going to be about? You think you can play left wing? And no. Unbelievable. What were they thinking? Sullied. Reputation sullied. Something has to be done.
They need to realize it's not just a hockey team. It's actually bigger than that. It represents
your community.
Yeah, right. It's more than just
the larger community, but it represents you. If you're a Habs fan, look, I was working not for the Leafs, but I was working for Global Television that had the rights to Leaf games when this whole Maple Leaf Garden scandal went down. Right. And, you know, do your research if you want, but this was horrible. This all went on during the Harold Ballard era. Ballard had died by this particular time.
Terrible.
Cliff Fletcher was left kind of like trying to explain. It was horrible. And anybody associated with the Maple Leafs were not so much in shock, but embarrassed and humiliated that it sort of happened under their nose and they didn't, and especially reporters. How did we not know about this? Or did we know about it and we just didn't pay attention because we wanted to get good quotes from Ballard? But I'll tell you this story right now. There's a man by the name of John Paul Roby. And he was an usher at Maple Leaf Gardens for many years. And I knew him as well as you could know someone in a business relationship because he worked there and I worked out of the gardens a lot as well. So I saw him a lot. And did I know about his background? No, I had no idea. And one day when I'm there with my young son, and I mean young, he was about 2.5. I'm there on a Saturday because I got to get some interviews done. And I'm there with my kid and I've got to go do an interview and I'm kind of holding my kid. Ty Domi was there with his son, Max, as well. And Roby says, "Hey, Mark, I'll look after him while you do your interview." Did I think anything of it? I had known this guy for, I don't know, a couple of decades, let's say. I knew of him. Why would I think that he was a sexual abuser? Why would I think that? I didn't know. And so I left him, my son, with him for 10 minutes while I did interviews. And when I found out a year later that he had been charged with 73 counts of sexual assault, sexual interference, etc., I threw up. I was violently ill. I left my son, my 2.5-year-old son, with this guy, this predator. So you never know. Did I have remorse? Yeah. Did I think I should have known? How did I not know what was going on there?
Well, how could you know?
Not just me. What about the people that worked there? Did they have secrets? Young kids were taken into the back rooms of the gardens, promised hockey sticks and a meeting with players, and were sexually abused for years and years by Gordon Stuckless and John Paul Roby. These guys, I knew these guys. They worked at the gardens. It's terrible. So the Habs, with all the history, especially the recent history, with sexual abuse, with racial abuse, with everything that's gone on, abuse of females, people of color, sexual orientation. It's, they had to know. This guy Bergevin should be fired. In golf at the Olympics, Xander Schauffele of the United States leads after two rounds at minus 11. The Canadians, Corey Connors and Mackenzie Hughes, well back in the field. That's all I can tell you. Olympic golf is fucked. I can't, you know, you get some highlights here and there. You go, is this live? Is this, are they packaging this? What time is it there? That's the other thing.
13 hours.
What time is it there?
13 hours.
But I always have to look. What time is it there? Like it's 11 o'clock at night, yeah. Friday night.
Right.
In Tokyo right now.
Right.
They're wrapping things up, I guess. Anyway.
Yeah, they're done for the day now.
Yeah. So no PGA Tour event this week that I can find anyway because of the Olympics, I guess. Everybody gets a break. So it gives me a good chance to tell you about Crosswinds Golf and Country Club in Burlington. I'm playing there tomorrow and I'm playing there again on holiday Monday. Simcoe Day. The other day, I made a fabulous birdie on the par 5-15th. Let me tell you about this, Mike, because it's rare that I make a birdie. A beautiful drive down the right side of the 15th fairway, just missing the bunker on the right. A forward to within about 90 yards of the green. Elevated with trouble everywhere, big bunkers on the left, and a huge pond on the right. You cannot miss to the right here. And the pin is at the very back, in the middle, right on a hump. Probably the toughest green on the course to putt. I hit a wedge to about 20 feet and I sink the putt for a birdie.
Woo!
And win the match. Win wow. the Masters.
Wow, you won.
There's no better feeling. So get out to Crosswinds Golf and Country Club and play it. Oh, you'll love it, man. The fifth hole, phenomenal. The island green, it's beautiful. Sixth toughest hole on the golf course. Eight's a beautiful par three. Nine, I'm trying to get them to put a new tee pad in on nine. Nine's a tough, good carry over the pond on nine.
Right.
I could go on and on, but you should go out there. Go play Crosswinds. You'll love it. Crosswindsgolf.com. Tell them Hebsy sent you. So you've been watching the Olympics, Mike?
Oh, like a madman all over
like,
it.
So what? Every time a day?
No, I'll tell you because it's on my all wife day, and right? I have this routine. Well, I don't watch too much of it in rerun, to be honest. So I start watching around, I don't know, 9 p.m., okay, I'll see what's going on
9
live.
9 p.m. is 10 a.m. the next day.
Right. Like, I'll see if there's anything going on live. Like, I watched the triathlon before that and some certain events right. I watched before that. But then I like, you know, so lately we've been in the pool, right? A lot of rowing and a lot of pool stuff. So I'll make sure I know because I go to the CBC Olympics page and they'll say, okay, at 9:59, Penny Oleksiak is swimming in the final of the 100-meter freestyle, whatever. And that's appointment viewing. I watch everything I can live. Okay. And then I'll do that to like 11:30 p.m. and then I'll shut it down and go to sleep. Then I'll wake up And I'll right away, I'll go see, what did I miss? Did we win medals while I was sleeping? And then I start again live. I watched a 10,000 meter race this morning live on the track.
10,000 kilometers would be some race.
10,000 meters. I always wonder, why not just call it a 10K? But no, it's a 10,000 meter race. I watched that this morning. So I'm, I got to admit, like I've always, since 84, I've been kind of nuts for the Olympics and I'm watching everything I can live.
Right. Yeah. Not me. I mean, this morning I got up and I watched Canada beat Brazil on penalty kicks in women's soccer. Very exciting.
There you go. Yeah.
Very, very exciting. But but what happened is I'm watching stuff and I'm going, have I seen this already? Did I see this last night? Is this you know what I mean?
Like the gymnastics.
And
stuff,
I'll be watching you go, oh, this was last night.
Sure.
Or was it yesterday afternoon? Oh, I forget when I first saw it, right?
Sure.
And on my Twitter feed, I keep seeing the final inning of the women's softball game from 3 days ago against Mexico.
Sponsored tweet.
I don't know if they played another game. So anyway, I get a bit confused, but I get confused anyway on things normally. Forget about an Olympic year. I would be confused anyway. It's the summertime.
Yeah.
I do know this, that Canada is going to play, and I don't even know if someone can tell me, the winner of the U.S.-Netherlands match on Tuesday. So anybody know if that match over? Is it going to be Canada-U.S.? In the semifinals, because that would be awesome.
Okay, while you talk, I'll go search it up.
Yeah, see if that's the case. So yeah, I'm a proud Canadian. Look, I am a proud Canadian, but I have to tell you this. It seems to me that the women are kind of rubbing it in to the men.
How so?
I'm not talking rubbing it in on the field or women Olympians saying, you know, to the male Olympians in Canada, come on, get your act together. I'm talking about on social media where a lot of women seem to really be like proud of the fact that women are winning all the medals.
Sure.
And men are winning none.
Right.
A little dig maybe at the males for years have been, you know, in those positions of authority. I get that. But it's sort of a like, all those years. And something that I just, like some people are really like, oh, where are the men? You know, girl power. That's great. But you don't have
to. We can take it.
Put down the male of the species at the same time.
We can
what
take
is it with you men? It's like when I watch commercials on television.
Yeah.
It's the woman is never the dumb one.
No.
It's the man. The husband is the dumb.
That's always an old sitcom trope, right? Like Homer Simpson and
that's
all that.
Right? So now it's sort of like, you know, and I listen, believe me if I tell you, folks, I'm Canadian. I cheer just as loudly for Penny Oleksiak or any woman that I do any man.
Right.
Any transgender, it doesn't matter. If they're Canadian, I'm in tears. I'm rooting for them.
Right.
But I can't, I sort of get the feeling that some Canadian supporters, women, are like not unhappy that the men are losing. Let's put it that way.
Well, Hebsy man.
They're not upset that the men aren't getting any medals. I'm not saying they're taking pride in it, God forbid, but they're not super upset that the men aren't winning medals. That's all I'm saying.
You think that they're rooting against Canadian men?
They're not rooting against them, but they're certainly rooting harder for Canadian women than Canadian men. They're rooting harder for Canadian women than Canadian men. I think that's a fair statement.
It's 11-0, right? This is not like, it's 5-2 or whatever. It's 11-0 in terms of women versus men medals.
Yeah. There's many events still to take place.
Of course.
Track and field, for example. Not that we've got...
But Andre DeGrasse has opportunity to win like three medals.
He's the way the schedule... You know what it's like? It's like a baseball team getting off to a great start. The schedule is easy. They run out to a great start. And then in August and September, they run into the tough teams.
In this particular case,
it's been great. Our women have done fantastic. I just sort of get a little tinge of like to just... to back off a little bit. Let's root for Canadians. Let's not give the impression... that you're thrilled that the Canadian women are doing well and you don't really care that much that the Canadian men don't have a medal. That's all.
Very interesting take there. I wonder what that says about you there. But I will tell you, Canada's playing USA, but it's not a good time for us because it's going to be 4 a.m. A 4 a.m. match, the semifinal.
That's only the semifinal anyway. If it was a gold medal match, I would watch.
One more thing that I mentioned, that 10,000 meter race I watched this morning. Very good. This Ugandan went out really hard at the beginning. I'm like, this guy's nuts. He was just went out so fast and he didn't even finish the race. It was such a terrible strategy. But I will just say
he was a rabbit.
Is that what he was? Because he was
sure,
but
because
he was 60
in the 10,000
meters,
there must have been more than one Ugandan in the race.
There was, but he was 60 meters up. He wasn't just like,
I got it.
Okay.
So he's a rabbit. So he's not expected. Was he expected to win a medal? Like, was he one of the favorites?
No, I don't know.
He's the rabbit. He wants to get the rest of the field to chase him so that the other Ugandan runner, his teammate.
Oh, my goodness. Right? And they didn't bite. Okay.
Yeah.
Very interesting. Okay. I'll just say there was a Canadian gentleman, Ahmed, who was in the last lap. He was in contention lead. He didn't have the same kick as the Ethiopians and the Ugandans, but he did not medal. I think he finished sixth or something. But it was pretty exciting that we had a dude in medal contention that late in the race. So that's all.
Nice.
Anyway, it's all fun.
Now, did you see the best new event in track and field?
Tell me.
The mixed medley 4x400 meter relay.
Tell me about that.
Two men, two women on each nation's team. Brand new. Phenomenal.
Wow.
So I'm watching it for the first time, and it's the legs go like this. Woman, man, woman, man. Okay? So female leads off, a man runs the anchor. So every team, every nation went with this configuration except for Nigeria. They went woman, man, man, woman. So that on the third leg, they had the only man against all women. So on the third leg, this guy opens up a 40-meter lead.
Right.
I'm telling you, Mike, this dude is flying. He goes zooming past these women, and he's up by 40 meters.
Yeah.
Only problem is his anchor leg, his 400-meter anchor leg, is anchored by a woman.
Right.
And all the other anchors
are men. Wow.
So he's got 40 meters, and he hands the baton off to this girl, and she's out there zipping before anybody gets... any of the guys get the baton. She's out there 40 meters. Now all these guys get their batons. Now these are dudes that run, 45-minute quarter miles. Or 45 seconds, whatever
seconds.
It is.
Yeah, seconds.
I mean, whatever. They're flying.
Right.
All right? And I don't know what the record is, the world record is between men and women, 400 meters. But I would think that there is a substantial difference. I don't know, five or six 30, seconds, let's say.
Yeah, 36.
Right? Yeah. So now the Nigerian woman, the anchor, she's way out there, baby. She's only got 300 meters to run. And these guys are catching up to her like
that sounds
by leaps
exciting.
And bounds, literally by leaps and bounds, every step.
Right.
And so by the top of the turn, she's done. They've all passed her. She ends up finishing last, right?
Sure.
And all these guys fly by her. And so I'm going, what wild strategy? Like, if I'm the Nigerian coach, I'm going to get, like, what kind of strategy is that?
So what would you do? You'd want your first and fourth leg to be men? Is that what you would do?
No. I would go woman, man, woman, man.
Woman, man, woman, man. Okay.
Yeah, I would do that. Okay. I mean, because this is the first time they've ever tried this.
Right, right.
And I don't know if this is a college. I don't know if I've ever seen a mixed medley relay. Never. So to me, this is new, but it's interesting. How would you do? Would you say, how about the first two legs are women, the last two legs are men? Or you go back. I like the back, forth. But if you can do it any way you wanted to,
right.
I would think you would want a man to run the anchor leg.
Yes, I agree with you.
Okay.
Yeah. Right.
But I just thought it was so cool. And the announcers are like they've never seen this before. They're going, look at this. Because when this dude runs by these women, Mike, I'm telling you, I mean, he flies by them.
Look,
and opens up such a huge lead that it's like, oh my God.
See, I love relays. This sounds very exciting to me. I think you always have to have your fastest runner close out your relay. Like, I just think that's a hard and fast rule. I know.
Penny Oleksiak runs the anchor, swims the anchor leg in swimming.
Right.
So that was very exciting. I highly recommend mixed medley 4x400 meter relay. Sensational.
Amazing.
Novak Djokovic lost to Alexander Zverev in the tennis semifinals, ending his bid for a Golden Slam.
Right.
Do you know the only person ever that's won a Golden Slam in the history of tennis?
Serena Williams.
Steffi Graf.
Oh.
Yeah. Won the Olympic gold and all the four majors, the Australian.
She was so good.
The French, the Wimbledon, and the U.S. Open. How about that? Amazing. So anyway, he needed to win a gold medal, and he won't win it. That's it. Maybe in 2024 in Paris. Finally, Mike, did you start the...
No, it's really low in there. We want to hear your finally.
Well, Simone Biles.
Oh.
I'm interested in your take on this. I've heard a lot of different takes.
We will stop the music, stop the rock and roll. I think that, because I was watching her do her maneuver before she went off with the doctor and decided that she was withdrawing, and she was terrible. Like, it looked really dangerous to me. Like, her head was not in this... And it looked like she was going to kill herself. And I was watching my now 17-year-old daughter Happy birthday, Michelle.
Congratulations. Happy birthday, Michelle.
And bottom line is, we both said to each other, like, what's wrong with Simone? And that is dangerous. And then she withdrew. And it made complete sense to me that she felt, rightly so, the sub would give her team a better chance at medaling than she would in that current state of mind. I don't understand the controversy, actually. I don't understand.
Well, of course, the controversy is that people thought that, hey, listen, I mean, you know, what do you go to the Olympics for? You got to be mentally tough. You got to be physically tough. You're the, you know, the reigning gold medalist, blah, blah, blah. My view of it is quite simple.
Tell me.
She was in a no-win situation. Why would she risk her mental health the same way? Why would she risk her physical health for something that, you know, just wasn't worth it? You have to be able to prioritize what's worth. She's got a gold medal. She's won gold medals before. The expectations on her are so great that even were she to win another gold medal, she likely wouldn't have been as fulfilled or satisfied as everybody else thought she would be. She has her own demons. And the other thing was, she said so. She says, listen, every competition I've ever had, international competition, my mother has been there. She's not allowed to be here.
Right.
That has a tremendous effect on me.
Right. Right. So why?
She couldn't enjoy it. She couldn't enjoy it if her mother wasn't there with her. And that whole experience would have gone down the drain and would have dragged her teammates down with her.
Good on her. It's not only the mental health, though. Honestly, Hebsy, if you saw what she was doing with these
twists.
Oh,
I did. I saw it. It was dangerous. Yeah.
It was physically dangerous. She would break her neck.
Oh, no, listen. You know what it reminded me of? I'm trying to think who the freestyle skier was.
Right.
They went and had to withdraw at the Olympics a few years. Same thing.
So
took a dangerous fall in practice, I think it was. Are you okay? And no, she wasn't okay.
Right.
I can't remember the young lady's name. But it was the same thing. She might have killed herself. So she would have gone down that hill in that condition.
So this outrage, and I know some people are sadly,
it's all knee-jerk. It's knee-jerk.
But some people, for some reason, whenever there's a controversy like this, race enters the fold. And I always wonder, like what does that have to do with anything except that...
Oh, I didn't even think of that.
Yeah, this happened with
I'm not a person of color, so...
Right. But this happened with the Euro Cup final, too, because the three gentlemen who missed the penalty shots for England happened to be people of color. And then
that's
suddenly race is in the mix. And I'm sitting here... Go ahead.
What about this Olympic... I'm trying to think, from Algeria, the Olympic weightlifter, fencer, boxer, wrestler that refused to, disqualified himself. He refused to wrestle an Israeli. Second time it's happened, this guy. The Algerian Sports Federation pulled him. Yeah, it just happened. Like this week. He says, I'm not fighting an Israeli.
So fucked up, Pepsi.
So fucked up.
So fucked up.
Unbelievable. Okay, that is it. Episode 243 of Hebsy on Sports. Thanks for listening. Hope you enjoyed the show. Thanks to Toronto Mike for production and inspiration. Hit him up at Toronto Mike. Did three big shows this week, right? Who'd you have?
Mike Eppel.
Mike Eppel from 680 News. One of the greats.
Yeah, he was great. Billy Newton Davis.
Oh, Billy Newton Davis.
And he was fantastic. Yeah, he was
awesome.
He was just fantastic. Farah Nasser.
Oh, from Global News.
Yeah, she's a BFD, as I say, at Global News. And then, of course, last night we had our 72nd Pandemic Friday. We did. We covered Canadian hip-hop with special guest Farley Flex.
Nice. Beautiful. So check out Toronto Mike's podcast, man. It's awesome. Also, thanks to our great sponsor, Crosswinds Golf and Country Club. Go to crosswindsgolf.com. and book your tee time online. And thanks to Manscaped.com, makers of the new Lawnmower 4.0. If you include the promo code Hebsy at checkout, you'll get 20% off your order and free shipping. Go to Manscaped.com. Thanks for allowing us in your headspace. Back with another episode next week. Until then, so long for now. This podcast has been produced by TMDS and accelerated by Rome Phone. Rome Phone brings you the most reliable virtual phone service to run your business and protect your home number from unwanted calls. Visit romephone.ca to get started.